I'm Kevin Kelly. This show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances, and on today's program, coming up, I'll be talking with Dennis Stromat, who is a fiddler, accordion player, Cajun accordion player, and also something of a scholar in the music of the French Creoles and Cajuns, specifically those from the Midwest, which is a concept that might be unfamiliar to you. We'll certainly be talking with Dennis about that and share some selections from his new CD, which is called La Belle Blondine. It's the third in a series of music on French Creole music from the Illinois country. First on the program, though, we have some actors from the Young at Heartland program. It's the senior acting program from Heartland Theater Company in Bloomington Normal. They're giving their summer showcase on, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and a lot of performances in the Bloomington Normal area. And we'll have a couple of sample live scenes from what they'll be doing on these various performances. I hope you'll stay with us here on Live and Local.
I travel around this country Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Seems like I've been everywhere. Been a lot of places, seen so many faces, but always wish that you were there. They say a picture's worth a thousand words, oh, but there's still a thousand stories that you have never heard. Please tell me, darling, are you still true? All these times I've been away from you. When it comes time for leaving, will you be grieving? Will you even wonder where I'm at? 'Cause I've got a feeling your love is someone to be stealing. You'll belong to them when I get back. Well, you know that you mean the world to me. I got good bait and there's a lot of fish in that sea. You'll be the one to sit alone and cry when I say farewell, say la vie, so long, gonna be goodbye. Say a picture's worth a thousand words, oh, but there's still a thousand stories you have never heard. Please tell me, darling, are you still true? All these times I go away from you. When it comes time for leaving, will you be grieving? Will you even wonder where I'm at? Yes, I got a feeling your love someone will be stealing. You'll belong to them when I get back. You mean the world to me. Well, I got good bait and there's a lot of fish in that sea. You'd be the one to sit alone and cry when I say farewell, c'est la vie, so long, gonna be goodbye. Farewell, c'est la vie, so long, gonna be goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Okay, and that's the end. That was music by Pokey Lafarge, with his South City 3, a tune called So Long, Honeybee, Goodbye, from their most recent CD, which is called Middle of Everywhere. Pokey Lafarge has been on this show a couple of times, including live in our studio. I'd love to get him back one of these days when they're through the area again. And heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program today has two segments, as it often does. Coming up, we'll be talking with Dennis Stromat of L'Esprit Créole. They're going to be, they are releasing This week, a new CD, and it'll make its debut tomorrow night at the Iron Post in Urbana, along with a live performance by, by Dennis and Rob Crum and one or two of their colleagues. Dennis will be on to talk about that and the notion of French Creole music in the heartland coming up later. But first, we have from Heartland Theater Company some of the actors and also the program director and instructor for the program called Young at Heartland. It is the senior acting program, and that is to say an acting program for senior citizens. And they're giving a lot of performances in the area, but specifically, we'll certainly talk about all those, but they're doing the summer showcase tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we are pleased to welcome everybody here. Anne White is the program director and this person I've been communicating with. And why don't you tell us a little bit about this program, how long it's been around, and whose bright idea was it? Seems like a good one.
It's worked out very well for us. I took the idea to the Heartland Board in 2003 and said that I felt that there were probably a lot of seniors like myself who would be interested in doing theater work, but there weren't that many opportunities in the area for that, and perhaps we could establish some kind of workshop for seniors, and that would also build up a base of senior actors available for some productions in the area, and we would be able to take our show on the road, and that way we seniors could entertain other seniors. They said it sounded like a good idea, figure it out.
Yes, of course.
So in 2004, we had our first stab at it. We had a six-week class. There were 10 of us in that class. And we currently have, I think it's four of us that are still in that program from that initial 2004 group. And then by 2005, we had a good routine established. We have classes that meet every Monday during April and May. And then in June and July, we take our show on the road to senior living centers, to nursing homes, to some senior church groups. And then in August and September, we go back to the classroom, work on new material, and usually do 8 or 9 shows in the fall. So that's the sequence we've followed since 2005. So this is our 9th year.
You said that there weren't that many opportunities, by which you mean not that many opportunities for seniors to act at all?
That's correct. Most of the plays seem to be pretty much aimed at the 30, 40-year-olds or younger, and so the roles were rather limited for senior citizens. And I knew how much fun theater had been for me when I was in high school and college and talking with other friends. He said, oh, wouldn't it be fun to be able to do that again? So we thought that this would be an opportunity for seniors to share that enjoyment and give it back to other seniors by going right where they live and doing shows.
When you say that for yourself and maybe others to do that again, does that necessarily imply that everybody in the program has acted previously?
No, they haven't. That's one of the exciting things about the program. People come in with all different levels of experience. We have people that have done work in high school and college, haven't done it since. We have some people that have continued through the years with community players kinds of opportunities. Others that said, I've never done it, but it's always intrigued me. I'd like to try it out, see what it's all about. And so we have a variety of skill levels that people come to us with.
And what happens at the classes?
In our classes, we have quite a variety of activities. They all center on how, as an actor, you use your mind, your body, and your voice to create your character. And our instructors do a lot of creative role-playing, improvisation, other kinds of activities that help us learn how to develop and build a character. And we also do some activities that help with strengthening memorizing skills, building the confidence in that. And so those are some of the activities that we do, things that will help us in all of those areas of producing a good character.
Is memorization one of the particular challenges? I know that the older I get, the harder it is to remember, you know, what's happening as you walk down the street.
It's one of the aspects that we do a lot of work with, but we also want our actors to be comfortable. So we say, you know, we want you to work toward that goal of having your script memorized, but there are ways that we can work script into a scene if that makes you more comfortable to have that. We have done some readings of scenes also. So there are ways that we can accommodate that and get people comfortable. Most people, if they've done it, are in it for the first time, will say, oh, I don't think I can. And by the time our program, our performances roll around, people are ready to do that. So it's not been a problem, but people just have to remember that as we age, we need to rehearse a little bit more, perhaps, than we did when we were younger. So go over it daily.
I have never done any real acting myself, at least not except maybe twice when I was a kid. So I can only imagine the process of memorization, but I would gather that maybe people have been surprised about the memorization process because as you get to know a character, the lines become easier because you become that character. Is there some truth to that?
That is correct. As you work with the script, then you can understand. That's one of the things we do in our preparation is to try to build a background for the character. Our scenes that we do are brief. They run from 7 to 8 minutes. And so you don't have a lot of background. So create a background for your character. What do you think motivated this scene? And in any scene, you're always trying to get something. You have an objective that you're trying to get from the other person. So you look at that area and talk about how you can develop that skill. And that is one of the things that falls on the instructors to help us with gaining that insight into your character to make it real.
Since you've mentioned the instructors a couple of times, I know you brought one of them along with you, Misty Crossland, who's assistant instructor currently?
Yes.
You're going to take over. So what do you see your role in this process, and what's your own background that brought you to it?
Well, I have a directing degree from ISU, a bachelor's degree. I've been working with Young at Heartland for a couple years now. What I've been doing mainly with their group is helping direct their scenes at the end of the process. For the last 3 weeks of their class schedule, we just work on the scenes that they're given that they're going to be performing. What we usually do is we break up the time slots and we work with each scene for about 15 to 20 minutes each of those sessions. And the important thing is going over with the different characters what their objectives are, what their ultimate goal is in the scene, and then trying to make sure that that's clearly visible within their performance. And it's wonderful working with the people at Young at Heartland because they actually do their table work, which is their homework within the scenes, doing the character analysis and the plot analysis and all of that, because you don't always get that with a lot of groups. So I do enjoy that they do come prepared for class work. And so the main thing with them is just breaking the scenes apart and making sure that they're clearly putting that forward within their characters.
Heidi Harris was chief instructor for this current workshop term. I understand that some of the class members wrote some of the scenes.
Yep. The class members, some of them meet the first Saturday of every month, and they have their own little playwriting workshop that they go to. And I think all of them but two of the scenes were written by all of the class members that were performing.
And you're involved in the instructing on the writing?
The playwriting. How many years ago did they start
that? It was just last year. We have one of our members, Terry Ryburn, who has a great gift for seeing a scene in life and putting it down into a story form. And so often she would write some plays for us. And in fact, she had her plays published by Art Age, and that was their number one bestseller in scripts for seniors. And so people would start going to Terry and say, oh, I have an idea. You should write a play. And finally she said, no, you should write a play. And so she and one of our other members, Bruce Beck, got together and worked on a writing workshop. And a year ago, January, was their first workshop. They developed scripts through that process that we used last year. And so now this year we're using even more. So it's through that writing workshop. And that's been another joy of our Young at Heartland, the spinoff from creating not just actors but writers.
I know you brought a couple of segments of the scenes. You indicated the scenes overall are not very long, and therefore we don't want to give away any of them entirely if anybody is able to get to any of the performances. So let's do one of those. Let me remind listeners that we are talking about the Young at Heartland Senior Acting Program, which is a program of Heartland Theater Company based in Normal, Illinois, and their summer showcase will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Heartland Theater Company, which is located where?
Its location, if you're going to put it in a GPS, would be on 1110 Douglas Street in Normal. And people in that area know it as the property of the former Children's Soldiers and Sailors Home.
Okay, and then the other performances, are they open to the public, or are they typically just for the residents of the places where you go?
Some of the performances are available for audience members to come from outside of that particular community. Our full schedule is on our website, and they can go to www.heartlandtheater.org and then go Young at Heartland, and our schedule is posted there. The end of the month, I believe it's the 27th, that we're at Westminster Village, and they have a room there for people to come in. But most of our performances, they're rather limited in the spaces. Evergreen Village is another one that would be open to outsiders to come in. So if they check our schedule, they'll know where we are going to be.
And that one at Westminster Village is actually on Friday the 29th.
29th. Okay, I knew it was 20-something.
Okay, so who wants to introduce the first scene and who's in it?
Our first scene will be called For Better or Worse, But Not for Lunch. And our players are Dottie Pfeiffer and Bob Weldon. And in this scene, we have seniors trying to figure out what they're going to do with their time after retirement, and will what the wife would like to do or what the husband would like to do be the final solution?
Don't we all know the answer to that? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Dottie Pfeiffer and Bob Weldon from Young at Heartland, live on Live and Local.
Ron, do you know what today is?
Tuesday. Or is it Wednesday?
Since you retired from country companies, you don't even know what day of the week it is. Today is exactly 1 month since I retired.
It's Wednesday.
So, what are you up to today?
For heaven's sakes, Marge, you ask me that every day. Well, maybe I'll wander around Farm and Fleet. Do you want to come with?
I couldn't wait until I retired so we could do things together. But wandering around the hardware store isn't my idea of togetherness, and watching you play Setico isn't either.
Well, suit yourself.
Oh, look, honey, the paper, an acting class for seniors is starting. Doesn't that look like fun?
Nope.
How many times have you talked about being in your senior class play in high school? You even had the lead. Wouldn't you like to try acting again?
No. I'm 67 years old. How am I going to memorize lines when I can't even remember what day of the week it is?
Do you think sitting around the house all day working puzzles or wandering around Farm and Fleet is helping your memory?
What's wrong with relaxing? I deserve it after working all those years.
Oh, look, here's an ad for Dip and Twirl Dance Studio. It says, learn the tango and other Latin dances and impress your friends. Turn an ordinary evening into a romantic interlude with your favorite someone. I've always wanted to learn the tango. Doesn't that sound like fun?
You know I hate dancing, and when am I ever going to dance for my friends to impress them?
Okay, forget dancing. How about going to that new romantic comedy at the movie theater downtown?
Romantic interlude, romantic comedy. Are you trying to tell me something?
I just want to do things with you now that I'm retired. I don't mean every waking moment, but I look forward to us entering this new phase in our lives and learning and doing new things together.
Phew. I suppose you aren't going to be staying home today.
And watch you mope around? No way. I'm going with Helen to the senior center for an exercise class, and then we might go to lunch.
Well, you won't be here to fix my lunch? What am I supposed to do for lunch? Starve?
Oh, for Pete's sakes, run. Make a sandwich or open a can of soup. I married you for better or worse, but not for lunch.
I don't think we came up with the answer to the question,
though. Now, the scene doesn't end there.
Right.
So you'll just have to come and see the show to find out if Ron gets his lunch or Marge dances the tango.
By herself or with somebody else.
Well, on some of those dance classes, they do take singles in there.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, we had a conversation on this show a couple weeks ago about the tango, and I was told that if you go dance the tango, typically you only dance with the same person once. So, might not be too bad there, Bob.
Well, we'll rethink this, okay?
Right.
Now he perks up. Bob Weldon and Dottie Pfeiffer, the scene for better or worse, but not for lunch, from the Young at Heartland Senior Acting Program's series of scenes that will be presented on the Summer Showcase tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock at Heartland the Theater Company in Normal, and also for quite a number of performances as they go on tour at various locations, some of which have space available for the public, and you can get more information by going to heartlandtheater.org. Our second scene, I gather then, will be played by Carol Scott and Diane Anderson?
That is correct. And this scene is New Idea, and it also deals with opportunities that come up when we retire. That seems to be our theme in our shows this year, are the opportunities that are available, the choices that can be made, and whether we're willing to take the risk to try something new. And in this scene, two friends are presented with an idea that just might shake up their lives.
Bill, are you going to a costume party now or what? You look, I hesitate to say, like a floozy.
Ellie, you know I usually dress this way. For some reason, you're noticing it more today.
Well, to be truthful, I actually find it a little embarrassing.
Oh, Ellie, if it bothers you that much, walk on the opposite side of the street. Oh, but wait a minute. Let's take a look at that poster over there. There's a pretty sexy-looking lady on the front, but I can't read from here what she's advertising.
Well, okay, but let's not be too slow. I've got to get back on time so I don't miss my cross-stitching class.
I don't know how you could stand to do that sort of thing. It seems so boring.
You know, Belle, it wouldn't do you any harm to take a class like that. Not to be flitting around from one frivolous thing to another all the time.
Not on your life. Wow, Ellie, look at this, a belly dancing class.
Belly dancing? Surely you aren't even giving it a second thought.
And why not? It says all ages welcome.
Right, all ages, but not all shapes.
Why don't you just say what you think about how I look, Ellie?
Now, Belle, don't get all huffy.
I bet I have more fun than you do, though.
True, but I'm not always looking to have fun. I do try to improve my mind by learning new things.
You know, I just remembered that Marge Gardner told me that she'd taken most of the classes first semester and really liked them. Because of a scheduling problem, she had to quit.
Well, knowing her, I can well imagine she might exaggerate how great the classes are.
Boy, you're sure in a grouchy mood today. Anyway, it's coming back to me now. She said there were about 12 people in the class, all sizes and ages, even a woman who was 83, plus a girl in her teens.
I guess if you'd be accepted, I don't have to worry.
Except about your attitude. March said that right off the bat, the instructor has you buy a hip scarf. That's a really colorful scarf with beads and bells attached. They jingle when you swing your hips.
That sounds kind of gaudy to me.
You know, a little gaudy wouldn't hurt you at all.
Well, you'll have to come and see our show to find out what did or did not these ladies decide to do with some of their free time.
One wonders how these ladies got to be friends. But you both seem to inhabit your characters very well. We had a discussion, I think it was on yesterday's show, about the notion of a character that fits your personality or sometimes is the opposite to your personality. And I'm sorry, I guess I'm kind of curious, Carol, how would you say that works for you?
It's actually fairly fairly accurate. I like adventure, let's put it that way.
And Diane?
Oh, Carol is so much fun. I wish I was more like her instead of such a conservative, uptight woman.
Is this true?
No.
Not really.
And also, I hasten to say that Carol is not dressed like a floozy.
Oh, that's true.
No, today.
Not today. No, no, no.
And so, both of these scripts were written by some of our Young at Heartland members through that class that we were talking about. Judy Franciosi wrote the For Better or Worse, But Not for Lunch. And Elsie Cadu was the writer of this last one, New Idea.
And these are both plays or scenes happening on the Summer Showcase tomorrow at 1 o'clock for the Young at Heartland Senior Acting Program. It's a program of the Heartland Theater Company. By the way, we'll be talking with Julie Kistler of the Heartland Theater Program's 10-minute play festival.
Yeah.
On Tuesday's show, I believe.
And we also, we're doing one of her scenes, too. Crosswords is one of our scenes, and Julie wrote that one for us.
All right, so we'll be hearing about a few things having to do with Heartland Theater Company. This is actually my first and second conversations about the company, so looking forward to hearing what else the company does as Live and Local continues over the years. Ann White is program director, Misty Crossland, the assistant instructor, and both with us here today, Heidi Harris, instructor for the 2012 Spring Workshop, and Misty will be taking things over in the fall. Carol Scott, Diane Anderson, Dottie Pfeiffer, and Bob Weldon are actors today. And again, that showcase is tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock at Heartland Theater Company. For more information, go to heartlandtheater.org. Support for our show today on Live and Local comes in part from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign. Along with their dinner menu, tapas is served every evening until 2 o'clock a.m. Brunch is also served on Saturday and Sunday from 10:30 to 2:30. Information on menus, wine, and beer lists is at RadioMariaRestaurant.com. Stay tuned for my conversation with Dennis Stromat, whose new CD on the French Creole music from the Heartland will be making its debut tomorrow night, along with a live performance at the Iron Post in Urbana. It's Live and Local.
Se promène là, la gère que se promène.
It's called Au Bois Mesdames from La Belle Blondine, which is the new CD from Dennis Stromat, French Creole Fiddle Tunes and Ballads from Old Upper Louisiana. It's volume 3. And Dennis is making a return appearance here on Live and Local. The first time we had him, he had his own group, which I think was called Creole Stomp. I don't know if you were Stomp. Here. Were you here with Creole Stomp?
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and last couple times with a fellow named Maurice Ardoin, all three times, I believe, with guitarist Rob Crum, who is local player, guitar and bass and other things, and he's on this CD as well. And they're going to be performing tomorrow night at the Iron Post in Urbana for a show from 8 to 10, and also, I guess that's the official release of this new CD.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, first, thanks for joining us on the show again.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Glad we could work this out.
Yeah, this is. Well, I know you're sort of launching on a tour of sorts, or maybe you're in the middle of a tour.
It never stops.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That keeps you going. Tell me about this series. This is volume 3. What happened on the first two, and will there be others?
Absolutely. There will definitely be more. Really what I've been trying to do is in what I didn't really even think would be that much musically that would catch on. It's a lot of music. It's from southern Illinois, southwestern Indiana, southeast Missouri. It's French Creole music from our part of the country. French Creole tunes, you know, fiddle tunes and some old ballads. A lot of songs that I learned in the old mines area of southeast Missouri, about an hour south of St. Louis. It's in a French-speaking area that is still, today, still actually a fairly large number of people have some working knowledge of French, and some are even still fluent. In the area. A lot of the families came here, you know, 300 years ago, and really what I wanted to do is it was really, I guess, something that I had worked towards for years because I had learned to play fiddle, actually, over in the old mines area. A lot of people think I learned in Louisiana, but I did learn to play Cajun fiddling in Louisiana, but I learned to play the fiddle in Old Mines, Missouri.
Where is Old Mines?
It's about an hour south of St. Louis. Triangulated, it's about 45 minutes west of St. Genevieve, off the Mississippi River, and about 50 minutes, south of St. Louis on Route 21. So it's kind of triangulated. You know, you could draw a triangle from St. Genevieve on the Mississippi up to St. Louis, and the point of the triangle would go right to Old Mines, you know, essentially. And it's where I learned to speak French. That's where I learned to speak Creole French. And I really wanted to get it to a CD, which the first volume was 7 years ago that we did, in which I did a lot of the old tunes and, you know, didn't really even know what I was getting into at that point. You know, I thought it would be fun to record, you know, some of the songs I learned from some of the local singers, people like Annie Paggi and Ida Portell, and some of the fiddle players like Charlie Paggi and Roy Bouyer. And, you know, a lot of these tunes have never been recorded commercially ever. Most of them have not been. There's just been a few that were recorded on an album back in the 70s, called I'm Old But I'm Awfully Tough, which ended up was something that was supported through the Smithsonian and in Folkways, that some of these songs were available. But those were by people, like I say, like Joe Polite, who actually passed away in the 70s, and Charlie Paggi, who passed away in 94, was on the recordings as well. And since then, other than that recording, there has really not been any of this music, you know, commercially released. And so in a lot of ways, there was a lot of people in the area were like, Dennis, you know, we'd really like you to, you know, record some of our music. You know the music, you learned it here. Can you do some of it? And I was like, absolutely. And that's really kind of what kicked it off. It was just kind of on a whim with the first volume. And then we really kind of came out strong out the gate, you know, knew after we did so well with the first one, we knew all of a sudden, wow, there is actually an audience for this archaic music that nobody listens to, you know, outside of, you know, southwestern Illinois and, you know, and southeast Missouri. And since that time, we've found, you know, thousands of fans, you know, around the country, people who actually like the music.
So this music is being actively played in those areas.
Yeah, some people still play it. There's one gentleman. But when I say active, it's very small. There's a few people that sing some of the tunes. There's a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Lademunier, who's in his 80s. He's the last of the homegrown Creole fiddlers that still plays a few of these songs. He plays at some dances, you know, around St. Genevieve, Bloomsdale, you know, Festus, Missouri, you know, in that area. But for the most part, as it being as active as it used to be, you know, 20 years ago, it's, you know, really kind of L'Esprit Creole. My group is really kind of it, you know, right now. We're hoping to, you know, inspire some younger groups. And we've had some success with that. In fact, the great-grandson of Charlie Paggi, one of my teachers, who never knew his great-grandfather, has taken up fiddling. And I've actually taught him some of the tunes and taught him some of his great-grandfather's songs. So that's been a pleasure, you know, to do that and to start seeing some of this continue.
Is there a distinction between how much this music is being played in the areas we're talking about, Southern Illinois, Indiana, mm-hmm. Missouri, and so on, as opposed to how much this music is being played in Louisiana Cajun country, which is, and Creole.
It's very, very different. You know, I mean, for example, you know, in the state of Louisiana, you've got, you know, even though there's only about 250,000 of them speak French, you've got 1 million Cajuns and Creoles, you know, in Louisiana. So it's a huge support network, you know, that on an international scale, basically, you know, supported by, you know, several different record labels through the years, like Rounder and Arhuli, you know, and even Swallow, you know, that support that. Whereas our music up here has been something that has been continued by a very small number of people. You know, there were 500 people that were fluent in the language 25 years ago. You know, today there's fewer than 50. You know, and I mean, there are probably, you know, identifiably a good, you know, 5,000-6,000 French Creoles, you know, between southwestern Indiana, southern Illinois, and southeast Missouri. And that, you know, breaks down even farther than that. They identify themselves, but of the people who actually participate in cultural functions is probably, you know, not even a third that, you know. And so, but we've seen, you know, an increase in the last 10 years in a way that I never actually thought would happen again. I learned to play these tunes at bouillon parties, house parties. And, you know, there might be 20, 30 people, most of them over 70, you know, at some of these house parties, you know, 20-some years ago. And when I started playing a festival called La Fête d'Automne, the Autumn Festival, it's usually the first Sunday of October every year in Old Mines. It's kind of a, you know, just a folk festival kind of day, you know, on a Sunday. And I took it over from Roy Bouyer, who was in his late 80s at the time playing fiddle. And, you know, we would see maybe 200 people, you know, show up, you know, between 11 and 5 on a Sunday afternoon the whole day. Now we're seeing 1,000 in that amount of time. We have people traveling from Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, Indiana, people flying in who, you know, come and stay at the Washington State Park and, you know, and stay for 2-3 days now, you know, because of the festival. And, you know, and I'm not saying that's because of me. It's just there's just been a resurgence in the fact that we've got the music out there now. A lot of the families and some who've even moved away now feel the consensus of identification with their music and their culture, and they're like, wow, this is cool. People are recognizing it. We enjoy what we have. And so a lot of people have been coming back and celebrating it now in ways that they didn't even do before. You know, so we've seen a lot of success, you know, in that way.
I like that term you just used, the consensus of identification. What does that mean?
Well, that they essentially now are realizing, you know, a lot of them have known that they were French. You know, had a grandfather who maybe sang a song or a grandmother who told a story in French, but all felt pretty separate. They never felt like they were a part of a group that was important culturally, you know, that had something to say, you know, and had something to preserve. And now, you know, over the last 7-8 years, as I've seen more and more people show up to the fetes and to the festivals, and now they're starting to have bigger festivals even in southwestern Illinois in places like Prairie du Rocher and that area. A lot of these French families are all of a sudden coming to the realization that, wow, we do have a culture that is rich in its heritage. We have something to protect. We have something to cherish. And probably getting to witness that today from seeing it from just a small group who cherished the culture 20-some years ago, it's been really exciting to see that, you know, like I say, the consensus now that we have something that is worth something, you know, whereas, you know, 20 years ago, it was like, yeah, a lot of the old people speak French. Yeah, they play some old tunes. Who cares? You know, I want to go listen to a bluegrass song. Give me a country tune. You know, whereas now they're like, hey, I want to hear Duvienne tu Bergère. Can you do that song, Au Mat Au Pair? You know that tune? You know, and I get people coming up to me now saying, there's this old song from the area called Au Mat Au Pair, you know, that people have been doing. Do you know that song? And what's funny is that a lot of people didn't know that that song existed until we recorded it. And now they know, but people are passing it on. In fact, there was even, it's even on YouTube, a young boy learned to sing it who's French from the area. And it's just a sensation on YouTube. He's doing the song. He learned to sing it. And other young kids are learning to sing this nursery rhyme called Au Mat Au Pair. And it was a song that I had learned from a lady named Ida Portell in the area. And we got a chance to record it. And we taught it to some of the kids. And now it's kind of taking on its own life, you know, a life of its own, in which it's now disseminating, you know, outwardly. And doesn't even have anything to do with us anymore. It's just happening, you know, and that's really exciting, you know, to see.
Let's have another tune from your new CD. The CD itself is called La Belle Blondine, which means what, the blonde girl?
Yeah, the pretty blonde, essentially.
There's a cartoon of what one presumes is a pretty blonde girl on the cover. And you suggested we do another one about a girl, a pretty French girl, I guess, La Belle Françoise.
Yeah, La Belle Françoise. This is another, well, a lot of these tunes, it's too bad Rob's not here right now. He would tell you, a lot of these songs somehow always end in death. And this one doesn't quite get to death, but it talks about it, about a girl who's upset with her beau, who needs to take off for war, essentially. And she says, well, if you leave me, then you'll probably never come back, and I'll just have to end up committing suicide anyway, so, you know, what's the point? You know, and, you know, and some of these are just really harsh, you know, these ballads, some of them harken back to a really dark time, you know, in a lot of ways, and this one's no different. But at the same time, it's also a very pretty tune. It's hard.
There's often that irony, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great tune. And one that also, not only did I learn in old mines, but it's also one that also exists in French Canada as well.
La Belle Françoise. This is from the new CD called La Belle Blondine from Dennis Stromat, who is our fiddler here and vocalist. Also, Rob Crum. Playing guitar, mm-hmm. I guess, on here.
And mandolin.
And mandolin on this tune?
Not on this one, but he's on most of them playing mandolin.
David Russell's, I think, your mandolin player on this one, and then also guitarist Wade Bernard. Mm-hmm. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Marie, Marie, don't leave.
Nadien swerun gi. Oh, Nadien swerun que la guerre vous alliez mariron iré. Que la guerre vous alliez.
Called La Belle Françoise, or Françoise in Creole French, by Dennis Stromat and L'Esprit Creole. Dennis is the fiddler and vocalist, and Wade Bernard playing guitar, unless he was on bass on that one.
He was also on bass, too.
Oh, he was doing both. I guess there you can do that sort of thing with multi-tracking. And then Rob Crumb, was there background vocals on that one? I didn't even notice.
Not on that one, but he's on all the rest of them.
Playing mandolin or
playing mandolin and doing background vocals, yeah.
And then David Russell on mandolin on that particular tune. Dennis and Rob and Jim Wilgoose, is it?
That's correct.
Are going to be performing tomorrow night from 8 to 10 at the Iron Post in Urbana. Some of this music and also, well, presumably some of this music, since it is their CD release event. For La Belle Blondine, the name of that CD, Volume 3 of Dennis's recording project of French Creole music from the Illinois country and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just telling me, you're listening to Live and Local, by the way, I'm Kevin Kelly. You're just telling me as we were listening to that music a bit about French pronunciation, because I said Françoise and you said Françoise, and then the next... name that figures in the tune we're going to play, I would say Boyer, English-wise. Bouillet is how you pronounce it in French Creole. And you were telling me that you were just up in Quebec, in Canada, getting a refresher on
grammar,
on
more
French
than anything.
Grammar, and tell our listeners some of what you were being told.
Oh, yeah. They actually, it was funny because they do, the school I was in, because I had been to Quebec many, many years ago and did some schooling to learn how to read and write. But, you know, it's been a long time since I've been up there and mainly, you know, speaking Creole French and not writing it, you know, or reading it that much. You know, you have a tendency to fall back in the language that you know and that you learn. And so I go up there really to kind of, you know, just work on my grammar for a week. And they tested me out, and it put me in the advanced class, the most advanced class there. And but they were wary of that because a lot of the words that I use, especially because I learned to speak French in old mines, a lot of the words that we use are archaic French, or as they say in Quebec, l'ancien français,
ancient French.
Yeah, and they would, you know, stop me every now and again and say, "Oh, Dennis, you can't use that word. You know, that's an old term. You know, we don't use that anymore." Or, you know, and you'd have to correct me to make sure the other students didn't pick up on what I was saying because I say it so flowingly because it's just the French that I speak that I have to watch it. You know, when you're, you know, I'm around quote unquote standard French speakers because I don't think about it. That's just the way I speak. And it's the way that, you know, French has been spoken in the Illinois country, you know, in Illinois and Missouri and Indiana for 300 years. So it's, it was quite interesting. But yet I had one of the directors of the school who pulled me aside and who was from the country. Out in the northern Quebec in the Saguenay Valley, and she tells me, she's like, you know, Dennis, she says, a lot of those phrases you use, we know them in Quebec, but she said it's the older people that use them, and nobody used them on school property. You know, you wouldn't find anybody using them in a college or anything like that, you know, kind of setting. But she says, but we do know them.
And is this because French people came over to this part of the world so long ago, but without regular infusion of
right.
more French people and right. younger French people, it's just sort of stayed as it was.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of the French that is here heavily came from Brittany and Normandy in Western France, and so it's a Celtic-inspired French in a lot of ways. For example, things we even say, and I had to kind of break myself of even that, even while I was in Quebec, even though hearing some of them say things like you and me, you know, instead of saying, you know, toi or moi, you know, we say toi or moi, you know, and I've even heard some Quebecois saying that. And so I had to watch myself in school, you know, from saying, yeah, je m'en parle français comme ça, you know, and I had to watch myself and say, je me suis, you know, and stuff like that, just to kind of watch your pronunciation, you know, around standard French speakers.
Well, I wonder if that's even more ancient, because I remember when I lived in Chicago singing in a group that called itself the Scholars of Cambrai, and we would do French from the 1500s.
Mm-hmm.
And those same words you're just pronouncing were pronounced that way. You know?
Interesting.
Mue well, and tue. And so, and I wondered, oh, well, it doesn't sound like French to me.
It may be even older than I even know, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun, and that's, I guess, one of the like I say, kind of the part, I guess, the cultural richness, you know, of some of the language and, you know, and the music and, you know, because a lot of the people get a big kick out of that locally, you know, amongst the French. They're like, yeah, we got our own way of saying it, you know.
Well, plus, I suppose the infusion, the influence of English mm-hmm. is inevitable.
Oh, absolutely.
When you're surrounded by Anglos of one form or another.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of funny. The funniest thing, last thing I'll tell you is a lot of things that when I was learning to speak French, they had certain things that they didn't know the names for, like on cars or whatever, you know, and they would just say, what do you call that in French? Well, on l'appelle la machine. What? On l'appelle la machine. La machine. You'd say whatever. If it's something that works with working parts, it's la machine. So it could be anything. You know, but they didn't have a name for it, so they just called it La Machine. So, you know.
Why not?
Exactly.
We'll be hearing one more tune from Dennis Stormat's new CD in just a few minutes here on Live and Local. You can go out and hear him and Rob Crum and Jim Wilgoose tomorrow night from 8 to 10 at the Iron Post in Urbana for the CD release event. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thanks to your contributions, you keep the music and performance programs alive.
We're having a classic morning. This is Vic DiGeronimo.
It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Always pleased to have your company.
I'm John Vrain, playing your classical requests on Saturday morning.
There's still time for you to help support the music and performance programs you value. Call 217-244-0025 to make your contribution.
And I want to give you a bit of a rundown of some of the other events you can go see and hear live today and tomorrow, maybe. It's the Game of Love at the Station Theater in Urbana, 8 o'clock tonight through Saturday. Basically sold out, though. If you stand in line, you might be able to get a ticket. Kevin, skip that. That already happened today. Rob Patton, Jack Brighton, and Laurie Simon will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight for the Uncorked series. That's at 5 o'clock. Heartland Theater Company continues its presentation of their 10-minute play festival in Normal. That's at 7:30 tonight through Saturday, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Champaign-Urbana Theater Company presents Thoroughly Modern Millie at Parkland Theater in Champaign tonight through Saturday at 7:30, Sunday 2:30, and next week as well. It's Charleston Community Band playing at Kiwanis Park Amphitheater in Charleston tonight at 7:30. Matt Endres Combo play jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7. It's the Lincoln Troubadours a cappella at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum in Springfield this afternoon at 2:30. It's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the Muni in Springfield tonight at 8:30 through Sunday. Reverend Robert is at the Village Wine and Spirits in Effingham tonight at 7:30. Candy Foster and Shades of Blue are at Alta Vineyards in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Jeff Helgeson Quintet at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. It's Hip Bone Sam Band playing the blues at Blue Grouch in Springfield tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Urbana Pops Orchestra plays at the Vineyard Church in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Hurricane Ruth sings the blues at the Curve Inn in Springfield tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. And it's the Aduki Trio at Michael's Restaurant in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 6. Those are just some of the events going on in our area. You're listening to 90.9 WYL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium. You have to give the right announcement here. 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a sampling of rosés, followed from 7 to 9 by the mellow jazz of Ken Smith. Here's another tune from Dennis Stromat's new CD. It's called La Belle Blondine, and the tune is, if I pronounce this right, the Bouye Stomp.
Bouyer Stomp.
Bouyer. It is Bouye. Yeah. Looks like Boyer to me, and I can't get it right one more time.
That's all right.
Thank you for your coaching. Here's the tune on Live and Local.
Petit fiel à la table, vendredi, le poêle pour le lot bouillon. Usez la majeure de vieux gagalis, c'est le blanchier, c'est bien frappé. Plus au bout mon, c'est le même d'appel, danser sans pareil. Allons danser, oh tous les soirs, mais que je vous ai fait, si tu veux pas. C'est bon pour le de bouillon. Il se donne un champ, mais le vieux gagné, c'est le blanchier du pied frappé. Pour le de bon, c'est la belle la paix, le danser sans pareil. Allons danser.